More and more Vermonters are switching to clean electricity to power their lives. And as more of us drive electric and heat with electricity, staying powered up is more and more important. Today on Good Energy Now, we're talking about resiliency. What does that mean? And why is Vermont a national leader? I'm Kristen Carlson. Thanks for joining us. This is such an important topic. Right, Josh?
Yes, it certainly is.
Josh Castengay is here, and he leads innovation and engineering at GMP. And you think about this all the time.
All the time.
So first of all, let's just level set. What do we mean when we say resiliency?
Yeah, so when you think about resiliency, there's a few different aspects. One, just keeping the lights on from an electricity standpoint, keeping the lights on, we're keeping the system strong in the face of climate change and storms. We're helping by putting in battery systems and things in your home. And then it's also the ability for the system to kind of rebound after there's some kind of event. That's really the resilience aspect of it. So how quickly is everything restored and you're back to where you need to be for customers?
And what I love about the work that you're doing at GMP is that it's in action and it's happening right now. And we're doing them in what we're calling resiliency zones, which is a partnership with communities, keeping them powered up. Talk a little bit more about what the resiliency zone work is and what we're working on there with folks.
Yeah, so it's a targeted approach to resiliency at a community level. So we, over the years, we've done a lot of work on the system to make it storm hardened, we would say. The poles and wires make them stronger to withstand events. But there's different resiliency solutions are needed in different areas. So one of the things we worked on was overlaying a number of data metrics, looking at outage numbers, looking at communications availability and cellular connectivity and all of those kinds of things, and then targeting these areas, working with the local community to say, okay, what is most important here? What are the things, like, where can we rebuild some infrastructure here, add battery storage here, create a microgrid here, keep your emergency shelter going, make sure folks that are on the outer reaches of a circuit are staying on and have the ability to communicate back in an emergency. Like, all of those things, you create this targeted approach, which is what we've called resiliency zones, to really bring it to that community level and just continually improve that reliability resiliency there.
Totally customized, totally responsive to what folks need. So it could mean batteries in homes. It could mean battery at the utility scale. And we're working on these in Grafton, Brattleboro, Rochester are the towns right now. But we're always looking for more communities, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So, you know, it's really, really important to engage and have engagement with the community, with the local folks. Nobody's going to know the critical pieces of infrastructure better than the community themselves. So that's why we love to just get down there and then engage with folks and have them, you know, work together with us to say, okay, this area, I need to keep this going. If there's a major storm, this is a real key piece of infrastructure for our community. That's great. And then gives us something to target to and really work towards to improve.
And it's so much fun to see it in action. And this engineering work, this innovative work, really led the way in Panton, Vermont, which was the foundation for all of these projects. It was featured in Time magazine. And what happened in Panton, and how did that really unlock the magic of resiliency zones?
So, yeah. So in Panton, we did what is known as a microgrid, which you think, you know, that's a term that's thrown around quite a bit. But really what it means is exactly as it sounds. Like, imagine there's the bigger grid that we've talked about before, I think, and you shrink that down into a little box and you can keep a small section of the distribution system, the electric grid, going in the event of a major storm event or an outage. So what we did there, and we did that with just solar energy and battery storage, no other systems, no fossil fuel generators, no traditional big backup systems. And it's the reason it hasn't flourished yet is it is an engineering feat, an engineering challenge. We partnered with some folks to get that done in Panton. And literally we can take a portion of the electric system there. It feeds about 70 customers, expanding to, you know, upwards of 300 or so customers, and keep that system going just from solar and battery storage. Yeah, no fossil fuel consumption anywhere, no big generators spinning. Just that system is powering up that micro area and keeping it going during an event.
It is so cool, and we can adapt it, we can replicate it, and you forgot to say there's sheep involved.
There are some sheep out there, too.
They graze right around
That's
there,
right.
And they are so cute.
They
and
keep the grass mowed.
It's the local farm. They come over and they help us mow it. It's a very fully sustainable top to bottom. So the other thing we're doing is a real network of things. So it's the resiliency zone work we talked about with the microgrids. But also there's home battery storage and other techniques for boosting storm resiliency. Resiliency is a really important word because what it means is that you stay powered up. We're doing a lot of things here. We're talking about lifting the cap with our storage program so everyone can have access to it. What are some other storm hardening things that are happening out there?
Yeah. So, you know, again, if you look at the poles and wires that are used to deliver energy to your home, burying those, for example, undergrounding that system. The system that's undergrounded isn't going to be caught up in trees or during storm. We also do, even for the larger poles and wire systems out there, we use something called spacer cable, which is basically a fancy word for like strong conductor that if something hits it, it's going to stay on and it's going to keep the lights on. So we're basically taking the traditional T&D system and really storm hardening
it. Ooh, buzzword. T&D system,
transmission and distribution.
Yes, acronyms. Folks, he is an engineer.
Whoops, that's right. No acronyms allowed. Transmission and distribution, that's right.
But it's really, like you said, it's a network of things working together. So in some areas, the storage will make sense. In some areas, it's the microgrid. In some areas, it's a spacer cable. And in some areas, it's undergrounding. It's like a whole host of things that are going to make our system resilient.
That's
for
exactly
folks.
Right. That's exactly. It's basically, if you imagine the way that a distribution system works, you have a substation, which is sort of where it all begins, and then it works its way out to the customers from there. As you get further and further out on the system, more stuff can happen in between there, more things. So that's where microgrids make sense in targeted areas. And as you get further out, customers with batteries directly in their homes and businesses is an amazing solution. And then everything in between, making that as hardened, as resilient as you can.
So these are real world solutions for customers at work right now in Vermont. So many exciting things happening right now. If you would like to learn more about resiliency zones and microgrids, check out our website, greenmountainpower.com. And if there's a topic you would like us to cover, shoot us an email, goodenergynow@greenmountainpower.com. Josh, thanks.
If you want to see the sheep, we have pictures of those. Thanks.
Oh, online, sheeps, cute. All right, talk soon, everyone. Take care.